Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the 3.1 million Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. Today's shows will be really special because during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Robert Perella, coming to us from near the San Francisco Bay Area. He's the author of the internationally acclaimed book, The Divine Blueprint, and The Divine Architect, The Art of Living and Beyond. His lectures and publications include 25 years of research in metaphysics, spirituality, behavioral science, personal growth, the origin of the soul, earth-based anomalies, extraterrestrial science, and near-death experience research. He's also a fascinating man with many accomplishments, and his interview should be really out of this world. He'll be coming on the air in just a few minutes. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing another fascinating gentleman named Gene Savoy Jr., the president of Cosology International. Gene believes that we're all light bodies. He believes that the entire planet is now ascending into the higher dimensions and that we have a beautiful and bright future. His father, Gene Savoy Sr., was a famous American explorer and religious leader, and he'll actually be in the studio with me. He flew in from Nevada a couple days ago to be with me on the program, and he'll be here in person when we start our show at 3 o'clock. I really appreciate everyone's support so much for this radio program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I have a spiritual mentoring program as well where I can teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you're interested, please send me an email or call me. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, named after the program. Or you can also call me here in the United States on my cell at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I want to thank everyone so much for the donations and support, especially Faison and Shirley in Florida, Marku in Helsinki, Finland, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, Raj Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who've helped support this program and helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I also would like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal at Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and the Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 60 countries. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, and my wonderful friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto and Mrs. Emoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and as well as my wonderful producer and station manager, Eric Ryder, and my sales coordinator, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. Out of This World Television is also now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in Puget Sound on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m., all time specific standard time, on Comcast Channel 22. If you're out of the broadcast range, these TV programs are also available on YouTube under either Ted or Theater Marr or Out of This World. With that, also I'd like to thank everyone listening today. So send lots of love and light to Michiko Hayashi's mother, Masako, who suffered a stroke recently. I know that your love and support will really help her. There's another friend of mine named Wally Brown, and wonderful videographer in Yelm, Washington, who's been helping with produce the videos for the Galactic Wisdom Conference. If you could please send him lots of love and light as well. My book on messages from the masters, Cosmic Messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, and Dr. Masaru Emoto, as well as the Galactic Alliance, is done, and it'll be sent to the publishers very soon. The book is about humanity's bright, beautiful future, and I'll let you all know when it's finally published. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference here in Olympia, Washington. Because of the success of the conference, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018 at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, about an hour south of the Seattle airport next year. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And I also want to tell people, too, that if you missed this conference that we had back in March, we will be having videos available of the conference recently in about probably the next 7 to 10 days. So if you're interested, please see the website or just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. With that, before we go to our guest, I'd like to mention a few wonderful upcoming events. In Finland, to celebrate their 100th anniversary, they'll be having a wonderful conference on May 25th to May 28th. The conference will be held just outside Helsinki, and for more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you all the information. From June 22nd to the 27th of June, I'll be sponsoring a spiritual trip to Mount Shasta, Northern California. Mount Shasta is the root chakra of this beautiful planet. And last year, when I sponsored another trip there, we saw Sasquatch, UFOs, and we were able to get in contact with the people of the Hollow Earth. In addition to that, several people, actually physically, six physically went into Telos and Shambhala of the Hollow Earth, and several people were also taken aboard benevolent UFOs from the Hollow Earth, and it was an amazing experience. If you do come along on the trip, I do have a special request from the Sasquatch for you. Please bring, they're asking me to ask everyone to please bring organic cinnamon rolls with lots of white frosting. They love cinnamon rolls with the right frosting. They just can't get them in the woods up at Mount Shasta, and I know the Sasquatch will really, really appreciate it. That's no joke. They really did ask for the cinnamon rolls. As part of the trip, I'll be visiting the major portals which lead into the Hollow Earth. And if you'd like to come, you must follow certain spiritual protocols, including not eating anything with eyes or a mother for at least 3 weeks before the trip. Again, if you're interested, please email me or call me. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In the Dominican Republic, from August 18th to the 21st, 2017, in beautiful Punta Cana, Santo Domingo, there's a beautiful conference called the International Conference of Peace and Light. They'll be having some of the world's best UFO people, as well as psychics and spiritualists. I'll be giving a presentation there as well, and I hope you can all come. Their website is www.paxluxmundi.com. And with that, I'd like to introduce my good friend and a wonderful guest coming on for this hour, Robert Perella. Robert, hi. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Great to hear from you, Ted. Yeah, doing well up here in Northern California, and here to share a little bit of wisdom and hopefully some antidotes for living.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I have to tell you, as soon as you started speaking, this studio got bright, a lot of bright white light around it. It's always nice, especially on a kind of partly cloudy day here in Seattle, Robert.
Lovely. So
you brought some beautiful energy coming in.
For
those of you out there who don't know about Robert, he's the internationally acclaimed author of The Divine Blueprint and the new revised edition of The Divine Architect. His books and life's work were inspired by an event that occurred in 1977 when he was taken aboard a spacecraft by three extraterrestrial astronauts. He returned sunburned and was covered in a honey oil-like substance. This weekend, he'll be providing musical entertainment and will be at the MC at next month's Contact in the Desert in beautiful Joshua Tree, California. He's also the U.S. correspondent and host of his own internet TV show, The Perella Report, and he's been featured on CNN, the Fox Network, Showtime, Coast to Coast AM, and many other media outlets. His website is www.theperellareport.com, spelled P-E-R-A-L-A report.com and www.robertperella.com. And with that, Robert, welcome to Out of This World.
Thanks so much, Ted. We are definitely in what we call, I guess, the throes of the vast and sweeping changes in consciousness, are we not?
Oh,
so much is going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the frequency of the planet, Robert, for thousands of years was right at 7.8 hertz, which is a Schumann frequency. And then September last year, it jumped up to 13.7. Then Christmas time, it shoots up to 36, drops down to 32. Now, I heard a couple of weeks ago, Robert, it was up at 40. I don't know what it is today, but it's getting higher and higher and higher.
I definitely want to write that down after the show. That's remarkable. Well, we're asking ourselves, what is it that's going on? The sort of rushing of time, the speeding of time.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's feeling very, very hypersensitive. It's an opportunity to practice one's mastery, you know, on really every level. I mean, if you think about it, if you come into the material world,
mm-hmm.
as we have, it is a gigantic school to practice emotional mastery, relationship mastery, physical yeah. mastery, not be too sucked into the bad and the negative stuff, and to hopefully be emissaries of good things that are going on, reminding people that life is a wonderful thing, because it's so much challenging us now. And maybe the human resonance aspect, and that I think that plays into it, because my wife and I were just talking the other day about, is it just us, or is there actually something in the atmosphere that we're reacting? Is it coming from within us, or is it actually something even around us all?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of came to the conclusion it was pretty much both. You know, they're mm-hmm. always married together, and it's a remarkable time.
Well, one of the most important things, I've read your book, which is a fascinating book called The Divine Blueprint. And if people out there haven't read it, I urge you all to get a copy of it. You know, you're very blessed, Robert, because you've been in contact with these ETs, benevolent ETs. And I think we've got something in common. You come from Arcturus, and so do I originally. And then I went down to the Pleiades and then volunteered to come back down here at Earth. But you have some fascinating messages in your book, including that life is a gift, and we've got ELP people, entities, off benevolent entities off planet helping us today.
Yeah, we do, really. I think people don't. I think we lose so much sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout the ages, there in every kind of indigenous cultures in Egypt, Syria, North America, almost any country really can think about, there is a biblical or a religious or spiritual text of some kind that references a host that is on the other side, that's sort of a supporting host. And throughout the long sort of involvement in spirituality and holistic health way I've been, and also the fact that I had one decisive, maybe a small advantage when I was young, I was able to see what was kind of around us when I was young. I was taken to a counselor because they thought, well, there's something wrong with him. You know, they probably still say that, but that's mm-hmm. another story.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I reported that I said, I saw people standing behind my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I saw people in the middle of the night that would come in the room. They would be talking to each other. Most of the time, almost never directly to me. It would be more like I was a witness to something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go to sleep, you kind of are, you're in beta right now. The brain
right.
waves are in beta, and,
right.
and so we see the material world, we hear our voices and all the activity
right.
around us.
Right.
When you just start to fall asleep, you fall what's called through hypnagogic.
Mm-hmm.
Hypnagogic is that little window you have, you know, when you're sort of nodding off and you really feel like you're just sort of nodding off before you finally drop down, usually into delta, when you go to sleep. And that said, you know, that little window is where I would stay in that window for a while. And for some reason, I think maybe the third eye opens up and sees what's already there.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the idea, okay, there's visitors around us, discarnates, people that have already lost their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Say lost their bodies, because there's really no such thing as death. There's a time when you lose your body, and then you're standing there without it. And then throughout years and years and years, I began to study that and was fascinated by the fact that we really have a committee that's walking with us the whole way through our life. It's not necessarily that they're judging us and that this is a big religious condemnation thing. There's sort of a whole community of hosts, of visitors that are here watching, observing, and learning as we learn. Just because you've lost your body, it doesn't mean that you're actually not still here and witnessing things and learning and seeing even what you left behind. What did people say about you when you were done with life?
Sure,
so you,
sure.
And even then, you even actually, you know, when you get a divine idea, you get an impression, and you get this incredible idea that comes into mm-hmm. your mind, and you go, mm-hmm. where is that coming from?
Oh, yeah, that's
sort
right.
of them talking to you. It feeds into your conscious mind, and you hear it in your own mind's voice. So you actually think it's your idea because you divine voice, and it's occurring to you, so it must be you.
That's right.
But in fact, actually, you're kind of like a radio in between signals, and you're picking up ideas and or suggestions, or maybe a warning. You know, when you get that sort of trepidation, and you know you're in the wrong area of town, and something inside you says, "Hey, it's probably best to turn around, like right now, and walk away."
I have to.
And we often don't heed that voice, you know. But
oh, yeah.
That's your committee.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely right. You have a fascinating story in your book, and I hope I have remembered the name correctly. Beverly, a friend of yours, who'd like to travel out of body, and she went through her solar plexus, and she stayed. Her guides warned her, and she didn't pay attention. She stayed out of her body too much, and her ended up severing the connection between her soul and her body, and she lost her body. And you contacted her on the other side.
As much as we can figure what happened. This was a perfectly healthy, wonderful young woman, probably 32, somewhere right in there. And she was really bent on stepping outside of her body and discovering what it was that was just on the other side.
Right.
And we'd actually gone to a conference and we're with the Native Americans. I think we're up in near Shasta. And there was a friend of mine that was with us, and he was saying, you know, we've really got to talk to her. This whole idea of experimenting and going out of body, you know, that has to be really mindful. You have to be careful of that. You know, it's good to stay real present. If there's a time to go out of the body, then there'll be that time, and you should have support with that. I know the yogis, the mystics, the rishis, the renunciants, they practice it, and they have good results and come back to their bodies. In this case, we had this funny feeling, you know, that, like, you know, she's really experimenting. The next day, I get home, right? And she told me that she would come by my house, and because she was going to bring a few things back from the trip. And I kept all day long, I kind of had this funny feeling she was just pulling up in the driveway. So I had this window where I could sort of jump up on the edge of the couch and look at this window that I could see into a little carport right behind my house and everything. And I must have jumped up on there to look in the window. I don't know how many times throughout the day I said, well, she must be here any moment.
Sure.
I thought, that's funny. Every time I look over there, there's no car there. And yet I keep feeling like
she's there.
Like she's right there. She's going to knock on the door. I thought, what is with this? You know?
Sure.
Come to get a telephone call, and somebody had gone over to her house, and there she was, literally clothed, untouched, no sign of any kind of drug abuse or anything, just lying there on the couch, and there was just no spirit in her body.
Wow.
And I kept feeling like that she was around, and she was as if she was pleading with me or asking me, could I hear her?
Sure.
And then a gentleman came over that night who does this actual kind of work. He actually talks to spirits on the other side, and that's subjective, but he was very good at it. And he said, yeah, she's here now, and she's very confused. She's very surprised that she did go out of her body, but she can't get back in her body, and she doesn't know why anyone can't hear her.
Wow.
And we prayed for her, and that is a testimony that people do go out of their body without, unnecessarily, maybe.
Oh, sure. Know? Well, I know I've met a couple people down around the Olympia area who do go out of their body on a regular basis, and I'm going to tell them about that story, and I'll say, don't travel out too far. You know, if you need, if you want to go to, if you want to take a trip and go, let's say, to Montreal or Paris or London, it's better to just fly in an airplane and go there in your body and not go out of your body too long, because you might have a trouble getting back, I guess. So
yeah, it's true.
You know.
Yeah. So there is this host and committee that's all around us. And, you know, I prayed to it today. I'll tell you, it was an interesting day this morning. I did incredibly. I was in downtown Santa Cruz next to Santa Cruz. It's called the San Lorenzo River, and it's right on the edge of town. And I was by Trader Joe's, and I saw all these police and paramedics over there. And I thought, oh, I'll go over there. Perhaps somebody's down. I'll pray for them, you know. Thought forms, whether you want to call it prayer, thought forms, or projection, there's many words for it. It actually is quite powerful, very I got there, and I actually saw a man pass away today. This morning.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I did not expect that before today's show. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was supposed to be there, and as I prayed for him, mm-hmm. there was nothing they could do. They had done everything with paramedics could do, and then they pronounced him as passed. And I thought, you know what? I'm really supposed to be here.
Right.
It was very, very crowded downtown. Couldn't get a parking place, and one opened up right there, just right in front of me, and I grabbed it immediately. I thought, you know what? I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And I asked that his angels be around him and that his committee be around him and help him out. Now, when people die, I always say it's a great way for an argument to break out, because people who have not necessarily spent their lives studying the secrets, what we lovingly call the secrets of life's continuum, or studied spiritual principle of matter and non-matter, are surprised very often at their own death, and would almost and many different things can happen at that way too. You know, some, like, there's a whole list of ways that people are greeted on the other side.
Sure.
Sometimes they are standing outside their body and they're saying, "I can't be dead because I'm talking to you." And they just simply can't get used to the idea that they say, "I feel fine. I don't know what the problem is."
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, you know, your body is no longer working." And they have to adjust to the thought of, "You mean, are you trying to tell me that I've died?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, yeah, actually, you did."
Uh-huh, sure.
And some might say, "I thought there was supposed to be more to this."
Mm-hmm. right.
And others may be greeted by hosts.
Right.
A mother, a father.
Sure.
Can I tell your audience that because you're separated now, you might have had a mother or a father that has passed away, or worse yet, a child.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that you will, without equivocation, that you will see them again.
Well,
no one has gotten off planet Earth with resolved business and that there's no reason to really meet up again. No.
Sure.
Everyone has business that they must resolve, and they do see those people that are around them that have passed on already before them. And, in fact, they're quite surprised. And and it's a wonderful thing that happens. You do get to resolve your business, you know, with them. If you've ever wanted to recapture that and say, "If only I could see them one more time, this is what I want to really say."
Sure.
You'll get that chance.
Well, I have to tell you that I've been in contact with my dad since he passed away in March of 99. Wonderful man.
Oh.
And he said it was like a big party when he went over to the other side. He saw all kinds of relatives and pets and family and his parents.
Wow.
And you name it. And he wanted to live to 85, and he lived to 85 in a couple of weeks. And I've been in touch with him ever since. And he said if he had known it was that easy to pass over, he wouldn't have stayed on as long because he had some health issues toward the end there. But so it's amazing. And what you're saying is absolutely true, Robert. You have such a wonderful perspective on things. And and I'm so happy that you could come on today. You know, one of the things that you've written in your book, too, is that this is from your Pleiadian friend on page 33, that the Earth is engulfed in a great light, a new form of energy that permeates the atmosphere of the Earth and in our bodies. And these are light particles coming in. When we talked earlier about the resonance of the planet increasing, I think this is actually all part of it. And I know years ago when I didn't tell many people about my abilities to talk to spirits on the other side, simply because I was afraid of getting ridiculed. But now it's getting much more accepted as people's consciousness are opening up and the frequencies are raising.
Sure.
Have you found that too? I mean, when you first told people, I remember you have this story in your book about you went to a church to tell the pastor about these experiences, meeting these ETs, and the pastor told these women to beat you up, hold you down, and exorcise the demons out of you. I remember reading about that story.
Yeah. You have an incredible memory. That is actually in the book.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. You know, when you have something like that, it was basically an abduction of mm-hmm. some kind, mm-hmm. where I literally had three what looked like astronauts that had uh-huh. come into the room room when I was, this would be December 27th, 1977, long time ago.
Sure.
I never knew anything like this could even happen. I didn't know anything about extraterrestrials or, or I was very aware, I was somewhat aware of spirituality and the number of things and limited, but I wasn't, didn't have an interest in, say, extraterrestrials, and I never went to a UFO event of any kind. There really wasn't anything much in those days.
Right.
And so I had this experience where I was taken out of the house, and maybe later in the show we can go into the details, but to answer your question, you know, I was taken out of the house and brought back and had this tremendous sunburn and this stuff all over me, and I didn't know what it was. I thought, what could this be? You know, these 8 foot tall, they almost looked like robots. They had visors. I saw no faces. They didn't speak to me. They had orange antennas on top, and the room lit up like the sun and sounded like a freight train going through the living room. It was so loud. And then suddenly I was whisked away by them, and then when I was brought back, I was covered in this oil material and this sunburn type thing. And about a number of weeks later, I was at home, and there was a little church that was only just near the corner of my little apartment at that time. And I thought, well, maybe the church must know something about it, because I didn't know how to go to a more open-minded sort of, you know, the people that we hang out with. And, you know, it was I went there asking the minister, and I told him what I saw and what I experienced, and he said, well, can you draw me like a little picture of what this thing looks like? I did.
Right.
I showed it to him.
His
eyes got big. And then immediately he asked for these ladies to place their hands on me and lay me down on the floor. And suddenly they were praying for me profusely. And he was commanding that silver devil to come out of me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was lying on the floor with my face mushed on the floor looking at everything horizontally. And there was a woman lying on the floor next to me, speaking in a foreign language.
Oh, my goodness.
And her eyes rolled up. I didn't know at the time that's what they called talking in tongues.
Wow.
I'd never seen that before. And suddenly I broke apart from the women. I interpreted what was, it was completely different. I said, I don't think you should be praying for me. I think you should be praying for her. That's not even English. Look, she's speaking like something's talking out of her or whatever. And so I didn't know what that was.
Right.
And I ran out. And as I ran out, I saw the sign, and it said the Church of the Holy Rollers.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Really very conservative. God bless them. Very conservative outfit, right?
Yeah.
Looking back at it, it's a very humorous experience of how does the world occur to you? Well, the world occurs to them very different than it does other cultures, and that's the way it occurred to them. And, you know, and so that was the first, so that was sort of like the wrong place to go. And then I met the famous J. Allen Hynek, who started the whole UFO research movement, basically. He probably called the founder probably before anybody, really.
Well, I have to tell you, Robert, I think that the chances of this happening are very, very slim, but I don't think anyone from my audience will be showing up at your door down there near Santa Cruz to beat the spirits out of you after this story.
No,
I promise you. I don't think so. No, not now.
Not today.
It's out of this world. I mean, people accept this is normal for them, you know.
That's why they listen. Yeah. They're more
open-minded. Well, there's a couple more things I wanted to tell you that I really liked about your book. You write on page 121 that life is a gift, and I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing, too, is fascinating. You said that dolphins are from the Pleiades constellation on page 133.
Yeah, I have attended a number of lectures that talk about the cetacean species. And what we sort of found is that the whales and dolphins are actually not inanimate objects, but are actually communicating on a completely different level.
Oh, absolutely.
There is an aspect of these beings that swim in the oceans that transmit some kind of information about the nature of our existence to those that are flying through the atmosphere. Many times we see lights that are over the ocean, And we, throughout the years, as I've begun to come into an understanding of how the Earth is governed, there's sort of a governance body that, mm-hmm. that's communicating not only with us, but with the cetacean species, like the dolphins, the whale that are in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Now, these largely are communicated, I believe, by what we call what the Bible refers to even as, you are descendants of the house of Pleiades. Mm-hmm. And people don't know that it actually says that in the Lost Books of Job, but mm-hmm. in versions that are not even, in chapters that are not included in the Standard or King James Version,
sure,
there actually
right.
is fairly extensive writing about the being descendants of the house of Sirius and the house of Pleiades.
Beautiful.
And I believe personally that we come from this cluster, that the many humans are coming from this cluster
oh, yeah.
of seven central suns, depending on who you're talking to, there's more, but another story.
Oh,
and that yeah. these are mostly, I think, what's flying through our atmosphere are not necessarily the little gray green guys that you
right.
that have been iconicized, you know,
right.
idolized or put on T-shirts or with
right.
the big almond-shaped eyes and the
right.
big head, and they're only 4 feet high.
Right.
Actually, I think what's flying through our atmosphere are men and women like you and I,
mm-hmm.
who have just benefited from greater time and greater knowledge,
oh,
and
yeah.
are here not to interrupt, but to sort of watch over, learn, help the governance of the material plane, but not to interfere. There's many karmas going on here, people that must go through many things, and they watch and they learn, and then many people actually, when they pass, are greeted by these people when they pass,
oh, yeah.
and some are taken right into even a celestial realm of some kind. Some are actually taken into a ship and brought into another
sure.
Aspect of existence.
Sure.
And now remember everything that this
oh,
was
yeah.
all about.
Oh, yeah.
And all the memory comes back and goes, oh, I get it. I see. I agreed to be in the material world.
Right.
Oh, I see. It's kind of like my memory was wiped clean.
That's right.
For a while I'm here learning these lessons. But now that I'm back, I remember you, and I remember this. And it'd be
right.
like as though you woke from a dream.
Right.
You realize, oh my gosh, these
exactly,
people
exactly.
are people from my own home. I don't just live on Earth. I live in these other realities.
Right, right. Well, I want to tell you, I think that dolphins and whales are extremely important to the vibration of this planet, Robert, because they keep the vibrations high. And unfortunately, I think this is being stopped now, but the U.S. Navy had a plan where they would unfortunately kill up to 5 million whales and dolphins through the testing of this new sonar program years ago. I don't know if it's still going on. I think the Navy's now under a court order out of Hawaii, not to U.S. District Court in Hawaii, not to kill any more whales and dolphins. I don't know whether they're following that or not, but whales and dolphins, I think, are very, very important to this planet's evolution, especially as our vibrations continue to go higher.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we should be mindful of them.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, every living creature, for that matter.
Oh yeah, not only whales and everything. Everything has.
You know,
yeah.
I think people don't practice that. I think they.
Right.
We're living in a very primitive planet. You know, we just saw the attack in Syria.
Oh yeah.
We see absolutely, you know, insane acts going on, thinking there's no consequence to this.
Right.
And thinking that there's nobody watching from another realm.
Right.
So there's no accountability. But imagine if you practiced accountability.
Mm-hmm.
They might be able to find a way to speak with you or through you a little more because you are more responsible. You have to earn your way into the galactic aspect and earn your way into the spiritual hierarchical aspect.
Right.
It's not just something that's just given because... you think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Random acts of kindness, practicing principles, being mindful. I mean, people come in different doors. Some are going to come through the Vedic aspect. Some will come in through something a little more conservative. At the end of the day, I think it could be hopefully summed up as, were you practicing the virtues or not? You
right.
know, and the virtues
right.
are simply, as we know, tolerance, and compassion, selflessness, unconditional love, non-judgment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And on and on. If you master a lot of those
mm-hmm.
or become well in those, you probably going to advance very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Versus being a person who gives off distortion constantly, untruth, this kind of stuff. So people are waking up, and they are getting the galactic information, the galactic aspect of everything, to a certain degree, to one degree or another. But, it's a pretty tough place. It's a lot of people have a very strange belief system and don't think that there's an accountability. But there is.
I agree. I agree. At the top of the next hour, I plan to do some prayers for the people in Syria, as well as Stockholm. There was a bombing in Stockholm today. I just heard about on the drive up to the studio here. So sad. Sweden used to be one of the most peaceful countries in the world. And to hear about this terrorist bombing now in downtown Sweden, I'm sure people were hurt from that. It just really saddens me. And the carnage in Syria, too. It's hard, I don't know about you, Robert, but it's so hard for me to determine and discern what the truth is coming from our media here in the United States, because so much of it is half-truths and they don't tell you the full story. Anyway, I'll be doing some prayers for them next hour. The other thing, too, that I was really impressed with your book, I know it's an older book, but I really loved reading it, was the ascension, the photon belt and the zero-point factor. And the one thing that you wrote about on page 197 was that this higher frequency energy, the energy of the source, God, if you will, is the ultimate origin of everything. In other words, vibration is everything. Frequency is everything. And this is something that Dr. Emoto used to write about before he passed away in 2014, that everything is vibration, and what he called in Japanese, hado. And their office now, the Emoto office in Tokyo, work with these machines which correct people's vibration or hado. And they're able to really help people on a physical or spiritual level with almost anything, any problem they may have, just by correcting their vibration.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty, pretty interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Pretty fascinating.
Sure.
I have to ask you, and I always, there was something else in your book, too, that I have to ask you about. That's on page 234, where your Pleiadian friends are talking about the size of all that is, and they talk about, here it is, that there is something called, of this universe is part of what's called the absolutum, I think they called it, and it's 10 to the 49th power. In other words, 10 49th squared is the diameter, is the, how can I wrap my mind around it, is the diameter of all that is. Do you remember writing that? That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think at the time we were looking at that, and maybe that was something I was going through at the time. We keep, evolving and keep, playing around with equations about how is the structure of the material world and non-material coalescing together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, that was a long time when I wrote that, honestly.
Okay.
I've learned so much more since then.
Oh, sure.
We're trying to understand the resonance of the actual planet. We're trying to understand, how all these properties fit together. One thing for sure is I think that if we don't understand it, that's fine. It's more about there's a real strong personal growth aspect about my lectures, I think, that I throw in. When people come to my lectures, they think they're going to hear about the story. Well, of course, I'll tell them the story of what happened to me and what I know about extraterrestrials. So that's why they bring me to the expos. But they also come in to find out about, the sciences of just beingness, mindfulness and practicing, mindfulness and how to get results in life. At the end of the day, I try to set up the lecture so they're taking something home for themselves that sustains them. Because a lot of people will go to an expo and they'll get a lot of left-brain knowledge about properties, ancient civilizations, math, extraordinary sightings.
Right.
And there's a lot of interesting things, but it's just sort of, it's interesting, but it's not necessarily something that really sustains them, you know. And I always look at that and I think, well, what about the day-to-day just being in your own body and being comfortable in your own body?
Sure.
And what are you doing for yourself today to to raise your own vibration and and create, you know, a moment for people, as I say. I always say, create a moment for someone that you might see on my Facebook page or you see me in a lecture, you know, holding up a sign that says, create a moment for someone.
Sure.
What I mean by that is that a lot of us are not mindful enough even to go over and do a random act of kindness and just create a moment for someone that is out of their own experience. And, and you know, your host and guides, they just love that. They go, look, he's getting it, or she's getting it.
Sure.
You know, they're not, you know. There was a wonderful lecture I saw last year, and the lecture was called How Does the World Occur to You? And it was all broken down in how the world occurs very differently for everyone. But there's sort of these common denominators and themes we see that are kind of intrinsic, that regardless of your religion, regardless of your faith and everything else, they're sort of intrinsic to our experience. And if you see life as a school and see as everything is teaching you, and seeing things that make you uneasy or even angry or there's unfairness, that these actually are gifts or things that are brought forth, they wouldn't rile you if you weren't if you were clear in that area.
Right.
Because you're riled by it is because you're not clear in that area. So the emotional body is getting out of whack. And you know, there are people out there, literally, as you know, Ted, you have great guests.
Oh,
I'm aware of your
you.
Show. You have great guests on your show that teach wonderful spiritual principles and literally sort of have that innate ability to be able to chuckle at catastrophe because they're so centered in their body and they're so practicing mindfulness, meditation, watching what they're putting inside the body.
Sure.
You know, that's a big thing about what we actually put in several times a day as far as food goes. And everything. So it's a day to day thing, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. It is actually. Absolutely. Well, the most fascinating thing that I was told last year by some friends from the Hollow Earth is that they don't recommend people eat anything with eyes or a mother especially like with cows in this culture and chickens, they're usually and pigs, they're killed in a terrifying way. And so when you eat their flesh, right, you ingest those negative emotions. And and it was just fascinating what they told me. One of the things that you write about is that that divine intelligence is all around us. And with that, how do people connect with it? Do they use their do you do a lot of meditation, Robert? Quiet time?
Yeah, I do. I take a meditation almost every day, somewhere between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. I don't necessarily sit in the lotus position. I actually lay down and I just let everything settle down.
Beautiful.
The body, especially as we get older,
right,
it needs a respite where the REMs in the brain need to slow down and be calm. The body wants a rest.
Right.
People will tell themselves a story and say, well, you know, I'm worried I won't sleep tonight. Actually, you probably might sleep better. You do need a little break. In meditation, it was a wonderful thing when I was a kid. I got very lucky. When I was 12 years old in 1967, you know, I do remember very well. The Beatles went to see the Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi.
Oh, yeah.
In the Himalayas.
Right.
You know, and I was very taken back by that because I was such a fan, a young man, 12 years old, such a fan of them. And they came back from the Himalayas. They looked different. They were dressing in bright colors. There was a talk of a cosmic sort of language, the need to. And the press asked John Lennon when he got back, he said, what did you learn with Maharishi while you were in the Himalayas? Because people forget that John and George actually lived in the ashram for almost 3 months. And the four of them went over there, but John and George really stayed with it. And because they wanted to know, how could all this fame happen to us? How could all the money, all the material items, all the drugs, all the ladies, everything, and you're 26.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
They went to the Himalayas to find mm-hmm. out how could this have all happened.
Right.
So they came back and they asked John Lennon, what did you learn?
Mm-hmm.
Maharishi, and he said this. He said that you had to sit still or you're never going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was absolutely, I think why a lot of people missed it, I got that. And I thought, okay, you have to be still or you're never going to know. What if I'm right. still? What is it that I'm going to find out?
Right.
So I sort of watched as I was growing up through my teens and early 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. practicing this and saying they actually could make a connection to the other side. And mm-hmm. I had this sort of desire to do that because,
uh-huh.
like everyone, I was scared to death down here. It's anything can happen to you here. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
I think I need an insurance policy. I need like a direct pipeline to the other side because this is
sure.
a crazy place.
Sure.
So that's how that started. So I always tell everybody, you know, try just resting each day. David Lynch Foundation is very good for meditation. That's a great one to go mm-hmm. over to. And or just take, if you're not in a group doing it, then do it at home. But take time. You know, your mind, your heart needs it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when we're all so busy, especially here in the West. It's good to set aside time during the day. You do your meditations early in the morning? You said 4:30 to 5? Yeah.
Early in the morning, I do kind of lie in bed for a little while, and I mm-hmm. try to, say, look, let's see. I talk to myself as though I'm talking almost to, talking to just what I want to see for my day, and say, look, let's not take people's inventory all day, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
honest to God, Ted, I mean, mm-hmm. everyone has sort of stinking thinking. I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listen to my thoughts, and I wouldn't even hang out with a guy like me.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
And I say, let's not go there today. Let's be an emissary. You came here
sure.
to be an emissary of goodwill.
Sure.
Let's not take people's inventory all day and find out what's wrong with them. Let's not
right.
clobber them in our head
right.
and everything because they're doing it differently or because they hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to forgive because we're walking around with a lot of unconscious beings.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to carry that safe all day long from mm-hmm. what happened to you in 74 or 97 or 88.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are still repeating a story in their head of
mm-hmm.
that thing that happened. And that becomes their story.
Right.
But there does come a time when you have to be still and now say, I'm committing to let that story go now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not serving.
Mm-hmm.
So you can grow old peaceably like some people do and have. I mean, Wayne Dyer was a great example of a person who really got it right
mm-hmm.
and died very wonderfully and peaceably
mm-hmm.
and just got it right, you
mm-hmm.
know. And he was comfortable with aging. And I think that aging is one of our biggest challenges now. I have to talk to myself about, okay, I'm not as fast or clear.
Mm-hmm.
My body is aching. I've even had two surgeries. The first time I've had surgeries, I had two surgeries this year. Since January 5th, I had one, and I had one in the very, very beginning of March. So I've been in recovery for a while, recovering nicely.
I've been saying prayers, asking my listeners to say prayers for you, Robert. I read about that on Facebook. So. Yeah,
Ted.
I have been.
No wonder I'm getting well. There is something to be said for group thought there too.
Well, let's do a mode of meditation for you, Robert. You said I remember you had something operated in the back of your neck. Is that right?
Yeah, I
okay.
have a great big lipoma taken
okay.
off the back of my neck, which is kind of like a small, like a fatty cyst tumor.
Okay.
You know?
Well, let's take a minute, everyone listening today, and send lots of love and light to the back of Robert's neck, so it's a speedy recovery, and there's no pain and no scarring. And any other parts of your body that need some help?
Yeah, you can. That's so nice of you to do this, Ted.
Oh, sure.
I had a mesh screen put in my right abdomen when I play music at Center for Spiritual Living
uh-huh.
on Sunday service. I play bass guitar.
Uh-huh.
And after the service was over one day, you would know it happened right there, right? Because it should have happened in the street, not at a church type of service, but
mm-hmm.
it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lifting my amplifier off the side of the stage, and I had there was a couple of steps there, and I started to set the, you know, take the amplifier off the stage. It was too heavy. Suddenly there was piercing pain in my right abdomen.
Oh, no.
I doubled off the stage. And then the next thing you know, a week later, I was having a laparoscopy, and they put in a mesh screen in my right abdomen. And so I ended up, the same surgeon, too. He goes, "Wow, you're back so soon." I had no idea you wanted to come back so quickly.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, let's send some love and light to Robert's abdomen as well, so it heals up nicely and he doesn't have any more pain. Actually, there's a prayer that the people from the Hollow Earth taught me, and I'll share it with you now, Robert. It goes like this. You simply say this several times a day, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if you're a man, you say, "I receive from the God within me." And if you're a woman, you say, "I receive from the goddess within in me healing for," and you can fill in the blanks, "healing for my abdomen, for the surgery that I've had in the back of your neck," for example. And I know it to be true. And you say that. It ties into the Supreme Being who created all of this. And it should help. The other second thing you can do, too, is to ask your friends and family to send lots of love and light to you. I know that there's a famous Japanese film producer called Tetsushiro Tori in Japan who in 2007 was diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. And his doctor said, "Well, you're going to die. There's nothing you can do. Just get your life in order and try to live comfortably." His friends found out about that, and they and their families and children started praying for him. And within, I think, 6 months, the tumor was completely gone and hasn't returned ever since. And so he was a film director. He's still a film director now, wonderful fellow. He produced a film called Inori, or The Power of Prayer. It's famous in Japan. I showed it a couple times last year here in the Seattle area. But it's a wonderful film with people like Dr. Bruce Lipton and Lynn McTaggart. But the power of prayer is very important. There's a third way, too, that you can do. You can visualize golden light around your abdomen and also around your neck. Golden light was used by doctors in Egypt 5,000 years ago to heal patients, and this is what they would explain, recommend that they do. We're coming to the we've had so much fun, Robert. I'm so happy that you've been on the show today. We've got about 3 minutes left, and for those just tuning in, I'm interviewing a fascinating fellow named Robert Perella, down near Santa Cruz in the just south of the Bay Area. And Robert, I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, that's awfully sweet of you, Ted. We've covered a lot of different things. At the end of the day, I always say, to your best bet is to heal those wounds within you and find ways to do that. Practicing, like we just said, this turned into quite a personal growth style show, more so than, say, the esoteric or more phenomenal aspects of human experience. Hopefully this translates in just being conscious when people are conscious to say, okay, top of the list is let's remember that what we do does count. There is accountability. There is a support team around me that is helping me or supporting me, and that's made up of different lost loved ones and angelics and others. Let's be representative. Remember, you're a representative. You're worthy. You practice being worthy by just knowing that your practice of the virtues comes first, and just being mindful. No one is perfect. You're just sort of starting out and trying things on, and nobody's expecting you to be the exalted one very quickly. Just try to be somewhat in an exalted mindfulness of creating moments for people. Volunteer work is great for the soul.
Oh, yeah.
I do a number of volunteer work at a care center for people who have had strokes, diabetes, what have you. So service work is very, very good way. Like our friend Danny and Brinkley, who's
on
the show, I think, he said, if you've done something wrong, go out and punish yourself by doing something wonderful. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a good one.
Yeah, Danny's a wonderful man. He's actually, He has a service group called that visits veterans who are passing away without any family, and they comfort those wonderful people. And he's a wonderful guy. He does such wonderful work.
Oh, incredible! Oh, and one last thing: I'll be at New Living Expo at the San Mateo Event Center on Friday. I think that's April 28th.
Wonderful.
And at 8 p.m., doing a wonderful lecture. They got people like David Wilcock and Corey Good and a bunch of people.
Okay. Well, we've run out of time, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Robert. I hope you have a beautiful day. Thanks so much for coming on.